And welcome to episode 288 of the Samuel and Manuel Movie Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Sam Reimer.
And I'm Manny Manuel.
Manny, it is Sunday, March 10th, 2024. And if you know that date, it means it's because you watched the Oscars like we did, probably.
Indeed.
It is 7:42 Pacific time. The Oscars just ended mere minutes ago. And we got some thoughts on it. Obviously, this night is our Super Bowl every year. This is the night that we come to celebrate film, and it's the night that we prepare for. And actually, this is the first time that you and I have watched it together.
Yes.
I'll say off the top, tons of fun watching it with you.
100%.
I'm very happy we made that decision. It was a lot of fun.
Agreed. I hope this is something we can do often going forward.
We were a little late because I was in Vancouver, so I was a little late getting back in time. So... apologies for making you miss the red carpet.
That's all right.
But we literally rolled in into your house in front of the TV right in time. Like the second we pulled it up, Jimmy Kimmel
started. Not even exaggerating.
Yeah. It was some pretty perfect timing. So we cut up pretty close, but we got there and it was a good time.
It was a really great time. I've always looked forward to the Oscars. I haven't missed an Oscars telecast since about 1992. And, I can't remember exactly when it started, and I apologize for this, but Rachel and I started watching them together virtually, is syncing up and sending chats. And once the podcast kind of started and we mentioned it, others let it be known that they would like to join us in that, and it's just kind of grown ever since. And my enjoyment of the Oscars has grown exponentially because of it. Being able to watch it and chat with the PFGs and with you here in the room just makes this night even more enjoyable for me, which is really important because while I love the pageantry of the Oscars and everything they do, the actual winners, I don't think there was any shocks tonight. Not one.
Yeah. I mean, looking through, I mean, we can maybe talk about who the biggest surprise of the night was, but really, as I'm looking through, all of this was pretty predictable. I mean, I don't really have any strong opinions about documentary feature, documentary short, animated short. There's maybe one, like, you're right that there's no shocks. There's a couple where maybe the second nominee I would have expected won. But it was in already close categories. The two that come to mind are probably Emma Stone for Poor Things.
That's a coin flip.
Yeah, that's a coin flip. I did think Lily was going to take it. But again, that's not a shock. It's just the person I second most expected to win it. That and The Boy and the Heron was probably the bigger surprise. I really thought they were going to recognize Spider-Man. In retrospect, it makes sense to me that they just wanted to take what will probably be their last chance to recognize Miyazaki.
That's why I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
And it's sadly disgusting to me.
And those are the two. Those are really the two that stand out to me as, like, I had the other person winning.
Yes.
And that was it.
Yeah. And that, for me, is, I won't lie, like, going into tonight, I really wasn't that excited about the show, with the exception of, like I've said, the performance of I'm Just Ken was the only thing I was looking forward to. But as soon as we sat down and the telecast began, my joy went through the roof. And I just slipped back into, fuck, I love this show. Oh my God, I love that we're celebrating movies tonight. And I just slipped right back into my enjoyment of the Oscars. But I won't lie, going into tonight, I was not that excited. I was just excited to hang out with everybody. But as soon as the show started, immediate joy filled me.
Yeah, I was reminded pretty quickly that this is not, it's going to sound really cheesy, but it's really not just a night about winners and losers. It is a full event designed to celebrate the art form that we love. And I was happy to experience that with you, obviously, and happy to talk about it with the PFGs. We had a lot of fun.
We did.
In the group chat, joking around.
We didn't get Adam coming in dropping a bomb after that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's a year ago now already?
Yes.
Fuck, Adam coming in and just telling us how much he hated everything everywhere all at once.
Yes.
That was great. That was actually a hilarious moment.
It really was. It really was. That was actually probably my second favorite thing about last year after the Not Too performance.
Yeah. And you know what? Barring somebody reading the wrong name or somebody getting up and slapping somebody on stage, you know, the last five or so years of Oscars have been pretty drama free for the most part, and it's becoming,
well, Coda was a bit of a shock for some people. I did predict it.
I mean, the night of, it might not have been as big a shock, but in the lead up to it, you know, if you had told me when Coda was released, hey, this is going to be your best picture winner, I probably wouldn't have believed it. But there we were.
Yeah It's we've spoken before, and tonight, I truly wish that the Oscars were the first award show. Mm-hmm. That I wish early February, before the BAFTAs and the Golden Globes and the PGA and the DGA and the Critics Circle and the People's Choice and all these other fucking award shows.
They did move them to February 1 year, right? Like one of these, like the last 5 years, somewhere in there?
Can't remember.
Yeah.
It's just that there's, for me, there's almost no drama. Like I said, the only two races that were close were animated feature and best actress. Everything else was pretty much a given. My predictions, I'm going to try and predict an upset. So if it happens, I look smart. But most of the winners were not a shock. And by most, I mean like 90% of, and I'm sorry to be a dick about, the categories that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Animated short, I don't give a fuck. Short documentary, don't give a fuck. And honestly, feature-length documentary, don't give a fuck.
Hmm.
But yeah, the rest of it was pretty much the way everything sounded like it was going to go. And And that's, and see, I'm slipping back into it. Now I'm just like, that's fucking boring.
Yeah, but I think when you remove yourself, I thought Kimmel's great.
Kimmel was fantastic. Kimmel, fuck you, Baby Wes.
Yeah, is this what, his third or fourth time presenting? Something
I
want to like
say
that?
Fourth.
Yeah, arguably his best. He was very, very good. They introduced a new thing with the acting categories this year where they had multiple presenters come out. They had one presenter for each nominee. That was really good. I really enjoyed how they did that.
They have done it before.
Oh, have they?
Mm-hmm.
I actually haven't. I don't remember seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing it, but it was really good for me. And then the song performances were kind of a mixed bag, but a couple of them were really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we do a little play-by-play?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. So let's start with the opening monologue. Kimmel comes out. I'm a fan of Kimmel in regards to his hosting ability. He isn't going to push any envelopes, but what he's going to be, he is a fucking steady hand. Mm-hmm. He never disappoints. And I'm just going to say this now, leading up to this entire show, the writers for tonight were fucking on point.
Mm-hmm.
The guests they had, the majority of them had fantastic little skits or bits, whatever you want to call it. They fucking killed it, and Kimmel was amazing. That opening monologue had me fucking dying. I had a great time with his opening monologue. It might be one of my all-time favorite openings.
Yeah. So he mentioned one of the things I have written in here. He mentioned that Emma Stone is a 5-time Oscar nominee.
Mm.
For some reason, I only have 4, and I feel like there's a really obvious one that I'm forgetting. It probably is.
All right. Well, let's see if we can find it here.
Yeah, so I've got Poor Things, La La Land. Obviously, those are the two wins. The Favorite, I'm pretty sure she was nominated for.
Oh, Birdman.
Oh, Birdman, yeah, that's the one that I forgot. The Help, I assume, is the other one, right? Was she in The Help?
It only says 4.
Did Jimmy lie to us?
Birdman, La La Land, The Favorite, and Poor Things. That's it.
Yeah, okay, that explains it. Yeah, Birdman, makes sense. Yeah, what else did I have as a highlight?
That's why I couldn't think of the 5th.
Yeah.
All right.
Hmm. Interesting. We got a shout-out to Greta Gerwig. I liked the shout-out to Greta Gerwig, followed by a round of applause from everybody in the audience, and Jimmy going, what are you applauding for? You're the ones who didn't vote for her.
Yes.
Calling them out and their hypocrisy.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That's one of the things I like about him, is that he's not afraid to call shit like that out. It's one of the things that, you know, for all the problems of the Golden Globes, it's one of the things that Ricky Gervais has done really well, is just calling out Hollywood hypocrisy right to their faces. So I definitely could use a little bit more of that. You look surprised at something.
Oh, it's listing her as one of her nominees for Poor Things, not as the performance, but for the picture itself.
Was she a producer?
I'm going to check that right now.
Hmm. Could very well have been. Is there any sort of rule as to how many producers? Oh, she is.
Yep.
Can a film have? Is there like a set max number of producers a film can have, or can it just give awards to anybody who will throw money at it?
It's not quite how it works, but yeah. It okay. So that's where the 5th nominee is. I had no idea she was a producer on that film.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, now it makes sense. So I was just racking my brain. I'm like, I can't think of the 5th. I'm like, fuck, it's not Easy A, that's for sure.
I think the two jokes that probably got the biggest laughs from us, he definitely built up to them, were the joke about Sandra Hüller, about how she's in a movie about the Holocaust and a movie about a woman murdering her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And in her native Germany, these are known as rom-coms.
Yes.
That was a really funny one.
Great line.
And then pointing to Spielberg and saying, hey, are you just here because you have season tickets?
Yes.
you got your fill of Steven Spielberg in this.
I sure did. My boy showed up a lot, and two great moments. Mm-hmm. With just him in the crowd and then presenting.
Mm-hmm.
Basically passing the torch, we'll get to. So the first award up was Best Supporting Actress. I won't lie, I kind of think that this first one was the best one.
Yeah, as far as like the multiple
presenters.
Yeah, honestly, Jamie Lee Curtis introducing Jodie Foster, who's her friend, was very touching, and I instantly welled up.
Mm-hmm. I was on the verge of tears. A great speech from the winner. This was a really good category this year. Actually, both of the female categories were really great this year.
Yeah, both in terms of the in terms of the performances, and also the presentation and the speech. Mm-hmm. Like just the whole production of the award was very good. I think Sorry, I've been saying divine, but is it? I heard them say like Davine or something like that.
I don't know.
I'm just gonna go with divine for right now.
I'm gonna go with divine.
This is one that was locked up well ahead of time.
Yes.
Well ahead of time. And this is probably the most passionate, one of the most passionate speeches of the night. There were tears streaming down her cheeks.
No, I think it was.
Yeah, tears streaming down her cheeks for the entire thing. She thanked her theater teacher. A lot of people thanking their teachers.
Yes.
Okay, there was an ongoing joke about people thanking their publicists, which I was not really privy to. It seemed like maybe they were told not to thank their agent.
I hope so, because I won't lie. Like, when they were thanking, and I understand, like, agents and publicists are very important parts of their, for lack of a better word, their entourage to help them get where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it just rubs me the wrong way to hear about it.
Hmm.
I'm like, thank your family. Thank the people that brought you up throughout, the people that helped get you there. And those people did help you get there. I don't know what it is. There's just something about thanking agents, because I'm just like, yeah, they made you money.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And they made themselves money.
Yeah, like, thank the casting director. Thank the director who helped get that performance out of you. Thank your co-stars. For me, I don't know why. It totally could be hypocritical, but it's just the way I feel. And so it is perhaps they ask for an unspoken rule not to thank them in their speeches. If so, great, because I won't lie, I think the speeches were better this year.
Yeah, for the most part, they absolutely were. There was a couple stinkers, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
They're mostly in, for lack of a better term, some of the lesser categories.
Yeah, the below the lines.
Yeah.
Next up was Animated Short. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
We did get the animated feature where I was holding out hope. But the aforementioned Miyazaki, is it Miyazaki?
Yep.
Yeah. Miyazaki wins for The Boy and the Heron. I haven't seen it.
I did, and it's very critically renowned,
mm-hmm.
gorgeous to look at. But honestly, the best thing about it is that it's gorgeous to look at, and it's not even the best looking film in this category.
Yeah.
Right? So I think Across the Spider-Verse, I mean, we've talked about it. I don't know if we've talked about it too much on the podcast. We've talked about it at length off the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen visually, and then it's even an improvement over the first one. I really don't know how you can't give it to Across the Spider-Verse. I really don't know how.
Mm.
I'm not a big Miyazaki fan, so I'm definitely biased in that regard, but I'm also not, like, a big Marvel or Spider-Man fan. I mean, I am, but I'm not, like, I wouldn't consider myself a diehard.
You're not Manny.
Yeah, I'm not Manny. Like, compared to you, I'm not a diehard fan of this property at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly just an excellent film.
It's in all honesty, Into the Spider-Verse is genre defining.
Mm-hmm.
It changed the way that animation is going forward. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that with the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which, you know, say what you want. I heard it's really good. I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it, you're like, oh, you were heavily influenced by Into the Spider-Verse. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think we're going to see people taking more chances with animation now after Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
I was saying to my brother just earlier today that Across the Spider-Verse is a great example of the fact that I think this superhero fatigue we hear a lot about is kind of blown out of proportion in the sense that the onus is placed on the audiences. Like, audiences are tired of it. No, it's companies are just incapable of consistently producing quality films like this. This film is evidence that people will watch and appreciate superhero movies still, even if they've seen a million of them, as long as they're good.
100%.
You can't fucking put out Madam Web or Morbius every year and then be shot and then accuse audiences of being bored of these films. That's completely unfair.
I agree. And it's also this, like, you know, that's a shot at Sony, same studio that made Across the Spider-Verse.
Sure.
But Marvel has been dropping the ball. They made a really good one with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, but they need to tighten things back up, and they need to focus, I think, more on quality instead of quantity.
Mm-hmm.
Focus back on quality, and Across the Spider-Verse is a perfect example. Moving on from there, we got into the screenplays.
We had Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer giving probably the worst presentation of the night.
No, the worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
This was cringy.
Yeah. goes to Anatomy of Fall. Wasn't shocking.
Them playing the PIMP music was kind of fun.
Yes. We were wondering if Anatomy of Fall won, would they play the PIMP music? And they did, and it was fucking awesome. It took me a moment to realize that they were doing it. Maybe pretty. If you're wondering why a movie about a trial in France is playing 50 Cent as they walk up, watch the movie and you'll see why. Adapted screenplay goes to American Fiction. Great win. Again, not a shock.
Yep. Good speech.
But well deserved.
Yep. Yeah. I liked the speech quite a lot.
That was great.
Thank you for trusting a 40-year-old black guy who's never directed anything before. It's funny.
Moving on, we get makeup. We get Michael Keaton, Catherine O'Hara coming up.
Real quick.
Yeah.
We did just right after, between screenplay and hairstyling, we get What Was I Made For, that performance.
Oh, yes.
I'm a fan of Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely a fan of them, and I loved this performance. And at the time of watching it, I went like, oh, that kind of sucks that they led with this, because now they can't top this. This is going to be the best musical performance of the night, forgetting what we had coming down the line.
Sam said that.
I was almost correct.
Yeah.
It was the second best performance of the night.
It was. Yeah, fantastic performance, which we should mention here, gets a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I'm like, worthy.
Begins the chain.
Yeah, worthy. And then so I was wondering, okay, is it going to be, standing O's across the board? Because you don't normally see standing ovations for a musical performance at the Oscars. You do get them once in a while, like Eminem's performance got one. So, Michael Keaton and Catherine O'Hara come up. They have a nice little comedic moment where Michael Keaton kind of leaves her behind on stage. Mm-hmm. Makeup went to, was it Poor Things? I don't have a problem with it.
Maybe a good time to point out, only three films took home multiple awards. Mm-hmm. So this was the Oppenheimer show, as was expected. Poor Things also did quite well in the technical awards. And then, so Oppenheimer was 7, Poor Things with 4, Zone of Interest with 2. Anything else that won, only won one.
Yeah, I picked Maestro for this. The work they did for Bradley Cooper was pretty astounding. I guess, I don't know, the work on Willem Dafoe and everything else. Yeah. Sure, I guess I'm not opposed to it. I guess the nice thing with this is, again, it's a little bit more, other than the Willem Dafoe makeup, which I'll be honest, I didn't think was that impressive compared to how they aged up Bradley Cooper. I guess it's more of a celebration of the more subtle work with all the, maybe the rouge and the color they had on Emma Stone and the people throughout the film. So this could be a Tom Wilkinson makeup award, which I'm a fan of.
More subtle one. I don't know if anything in Poor Things would qualify for a Tom Wilkinson award for something a little more understated, but if anything did, maybe it would be makeup.
The production design came up. This is where I was. This was one category I was hoping for Barbie to get recognized, and sadly it didn't. It went to Poor Things, which does have a very lavish and beautiful production design. I'm not upset with the win.
Mm-hmm.
I just truly feel that what they did with Barbie, making those toys and that world come alive the way that they did, and making it seem like a toy-like world, but one that was believable, to me, kind of exceeded.
Yeah, building those real sets for Barbie.
I hate doing this. It definitely makes me look bad because I'm not the hugest Lanthimos fan. Poor Things is a brilliant work of art. Fucking period pieces always get fucking shit. Mm-hmm. I should definitely take a look. When's the last time a modern movie got a production design Oscar? So, I was kind of really hoping for Barbie here. Didn't pull it out. I'm not upset with the Poor Things win. It is definitely worthy of that win, but I was truly hoping for Barbie here.
Yeah, kind of the way it goes. I would have liked to have seen Barbie as well, but that's fine. This was the one that was presented by John Cena, right?
No, costumes.
Costumes was?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's coming up next, right?
Yeah. I'm just going to take a quick peek here.
Hmm.
at the history of production design.
Trying to take a look at what maybe the last modern.
Oh, Dune.
Oh, Dune on costumes. Yeah, fair enough.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Black Panther, Shape of Water, La La Land. Okay.
That's actually relatively consistent.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not too bad.
Nice. But yeah, definitely a lot of period pieces in there.
Alice in Wonderland has more Oscars than Past Lives. All right. Good to know. Then we get to one of the highlights of the night, which I think sadly is going to be forgotten because of what comes later on. But this is the costumes, and this bit had us fucking dying. They harken back to a time earlier in the Oscars where an actual streaker streaked across the Oscar stage while someone was presenting. And so the bit was Kimmel playing up. It would be really unfortunate if somebody streaked across the stage. Mm-hmm. And you could tell the way he said it, there was something planned, which was obvious, and that was part of the bit. And then he says it again, and from behind this piece of the set appears John Cena, who is topless and supposedly bottomless. We'll find out later how bottomless he was. I'm going to guess he was definitely probably wearing some type of thong covering.
Yep, I would guess.
Because from the side, from head on, you could see that he was – it definitely looked naked. But from the side, you'd be able to see if he was, mm-hmm. and most likely – probably not going to happen. That being said,
I will say if he wasn't, like, regardless of that, the acting job that he did of, like, remaining perfectly square to the front of the stage so as to not give himself away was pretty funny.
But yeah, they have this bit where Cena said he was going to streak and then got too nervous because there's so many people. And then he comes out to present the award, and he is – it literally looks like he is buck naked, and he is holding the envelope in front of his person parts. And it was fucking hilarious. And when they cut away to reading off the nominees, when we come back, Kimmel is putting on this very extravagant dress on him. And it was dress / toga, perhaps. Mm-hmm. It was really fucking funny. Cena did a great job with this.
And you know what? I love that they framed this in a way where Cena, when they come back to him, he says, costuming is important.
Yes.
And that's actually a great tribute to the award that they're trying to present.
Yeah,
I thought this was one of the funniest presentations.
We were all dying, and it was great. The costumes went to Poor Things. Is that right? Yeah. No. Yes. No. Yes. Yes.
Why don't I have this written down? Yeah, I think I was so focused on John Cena.
Yeah. No. Poor Things. Again, worthy period piece. Shocker. Gets another Oscar.
Yeah. This is also pretty out there with the costumes. I thought. I mean, Bella wears some pretty extravagant sort of dresses, not just historically accurate, but pretty fucking out there.
Historically so. Inspired would be the best way I'd describe
this. That's a good term.
Okay, so Black Panther, Cruella. Oh, Black Panther has won twice. Wakanda Forever and Black Panther have won.
Wow.
Good job. Fantastic Beasts, Mad Max. Okay, Alice in Wonderland again. But look at all these fucking period pieces. Just constant. Okay, cool. But again, that is impressive, right? To recreate all those costumes. So, like, it would have been nice, whatever year it was, if The Devil Wears Prada had won Best Costumes.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Right? So, whatever. Next up was the Osage Song from Killers of the Flower Moon. And I can't share everything that was said. Very private. For those of you starting to get your backs up a little bit, I am First Nations, which, according to all rules of minorities, I am allowed to make jokes about my own people. So
you get the pass.
I do get the pass.
I get the pass.
Actually, nobody else made any other comments about it. I most certainly did. I had a good time.
Yeah, you were having some fun.
I did have some fun.
Nobody dared chime in.
No. And that's fair, but whatever. It wasn't a really great performance, and then it also got a standing ovation. And while it was a beautiful rendition of that song, I was kind of like, do they feel obligated to give it a standing ovation because they are a minority? So I kind of felt like it feels a little white knighty to me, a little social justice-y.
White knight indeed.
So I was kind of like, ugh. So we'll see. We get the best international feature where, what's it, Bad Bunny? Is that what he said his name
was?
I don't even know who the fuck that is. That's why I'm showing my age, is where I don't know musical artists.
You know, man, I only know who he is. I don't really know much of his music. I think, I mean, he was speaking Spanish when he was up there, so I think he's a Central American or Latin American star.
Cool. Like, this is a movie thing? Like, couldn't we get an international star out there? Like, couldn't have, even though he was already presenting, like, couldn't Kiwi Kwan come out?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't somebody from, I don't know, just anybody besides this musical artist? Whatever. Yeah, whatever. And The Rock did nothing. For someone as charismatic as him, that was another... at least they didn't try to be funny.
Yeah.
It was just... they basically really just came out and presented an award, which was kind of, in my opinion, a waste of The Rock.
I think I might not be a fan of The Rock. I just something about him rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I can't really put my finger on it. I think he just thinks that he's the most charismatic person in the world, and he just doesn't make very good movies.
Yes, that is 100% true. That's 100% true. Yeah. After that, this is where I have another great moment with Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling coming out.
Oh, man, and they're playing up the whole Barbenheimer thing,
yes.
And they're throwing insults at each other. That was very good.
Emily throwing out the shade that there is no rivalry because Oppenheimer's been cleaning up at all the awards.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that. That felt like a Yankees Red Sox shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ryan coming back saying it is called Barbenheimer because you guys were following us all throughout the summer, which is a great financial joke. And then Emily Blunt comes back that he's Ken-splaining.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. We were dying laughing again. And we're just, at this point of the show, I am having so much fun. It seemed like all the PFGs were having a great time. I'm thinking, I'm like, this is one of my most enjoyable Oscar broadcasts in a long time. I'm loving having Sam here as we're both enjoying the show. And then we get a tribute to the stunt work, as I love that it is the Academy holding back from giving an Oscar to the stunt work, but giving this segment to pay tribute to the stunts, as I know that there's a very big push for stunt work to get its own Oscar. I understand the Oscars, the Academy's hesitation, because they're worried that it's going to push stunts to get more dangerous, to try to push that envelope.
It creates an incentive to endanger oneself, which they don't want.
And I completely understand and respect that. So
I like this as more of like it's a group recognition. Obviously, mm-hmm. It's not the same as having its own category, but it is something.
Yep.
And having them being recognized as a group and as an art form prevents them from having those individual incentives where they're creating an arms race. So
yeah,
I like this a lot. And it was a very good presentation. All the shots of every time I see an old Buster Keaton.
Oh
stunt,
my God.
I've seen like him rescuing the woman on the waterfall, and I've seen him jumping from building to building. And I've seen him standing in front of the house where the frame falls apart and it lands around him. Like, I've seen all of those before, but seeing them again, I'm just like, that man was fucking insane.
Yes.
And the frame one, you can kind of see it, like, brush him.
Yes.
You can see, like, it was not perfect. So, yeah, there is some ballsy people, especially in the silent film era.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, lot. I loved the way they highlighted that sort of work.
Agreed. This was a really great moment. We go into supporting actor. Really great lineup here.
Another moment where I'm welling up. Kiwi Kwan talking about Sterling K. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He said that your journey has been a long and a tough one, and one that you didn't know if you were going to ever make it here. I can relate to that. Oh, just fucking tearing up instantly. Sterling K. Brown looking like he's choking back tears himself is also tough. And I think you said he signaled to Kiwi, he's like, you're gonna make me cry.
Yep. Yeah. What I loved about this, I think one of the reasons that I love about this, and this might sound, I don't know, shitty or whatever you want to say, but
these individual one-on-ones that these past winners are having with the nominees is, I feel this is almost like, this is a really great kind of makeup award. Mm-hmm. You don't get the Oscar, but you get this tiny tribute from somebody that has won one, and it's a one-on-one. And while at times you can see that the person doing the tribute is reading off the teleprompter, the things that they're saying still are real. Now, some of them, especially like Kiwi Kwan's and who was one of the first ones that we mentioned?
You're talking about this category?
No, well, this category, but also, like, all the acting ones. Jamie Lee Curtis to Jodie Foster.
How there was like a personal connection there.
Yeah, and Regina Hall to Divine was really touching.
Regina King?
Hall, Regina King wasn't to Divine. She was for the Lady in Color Purple.
Danielle Brooks.
Yeah, it was all really, really touching.
Lupita Nyong'o introduced for Divine.
Thank you. I love this. I love this a lot. And it gives each of the nominees a little moment in the sun. And while, don't get me wrong, I always love seeing the clips, because we always talk about, like, what's the Oscar clip that they're going to pull. I definitely prefer this. Like, this is a really great moment for each person individually. And then we get the shock of no shocks. Robert Downey Jr. winning Best Supporting Actor.
Sam Rockwell introducing him was really funny, talking about he's an actor who won't drop character until he does the DVD commentary.
Yeah.
Of course, a reference to Tropic Thunder. It's really funny.
Great. Another great moment. We get into special effects. Now, here... In our group chat, two of the PFGs appeared to be about 60 seconds ahead of Sam and I. And we just hear, I just see the word twins. And so I thought, in my mind, I was like, what twins are there, like, working? So I thought, like, why are the Olsen twins there?
Yeah.
So I just jokingly said, I'm like, oh, Arnie and DeVito. And it turns out it was Arnold and DeVito, and
yeah,
I lost my shit.
He was triumphant.
I didn't even care about being right. I just was so happy it was them.
But also, you do love being right.
I do love being right. Yes, but this I'm not bragging about, because I was saying it as a joke.
Yeah.
Their moment talking about being Batman villains, and then calling
the cut
out
to Keaton.
The cut to Keaton.
Yeah, great.
Fucking Keaton owned it. When he, like,
the
gave
deadpan.
The deadpan, and he gave him the fingers like, let's fucking go. Oh, fucking genius. The Oscar goes to Godzilla, a movie I haven't seen, and I've heard nothing but great things.
A little bit of a tough speech here by some people who have some thick accent, not degrading them. Their English is certainly better than my Japanese, but I said in the group chat, I caught a good 25% of it.
That's being
honestly
generous.
Would have rather gone the translator route, respectfully.
Yep. Yeah,
that's okay. Big moment for them.
They got a lot of extra time to try and get out what they were saying.
And also got to give a shout out to this crew for rocking the shoes.
The shoes, and they brought up Godzilla dolls.
Yes.
On stage.
Yeah, and they have the shoes that we're talking about. I guess they had claws built into them.
Yep. Cool. Yeah, we saw the pictures of that earlier today. Film editing, Oppenheimer wins. The lady that did the editing, Sam drops a genius line here. It was a really great speech, and Sam comes out with a, that was a well-edited speech.
Yeah.
I was a big chuckle from me.
Yeah. We get John Batiste performing his best original song, It Never Went Away,
yeah,
at this point. And I have a lot of respect for John Batiste, mm-hmm, as a musician. I think, mm-hmm, he's a phenomenal writer and a phenomenal player.
Yep.
Really good piano player. This was okay.
This song was fine. I was sitting there, I'm like, okay, is he going to get a standing ovation? And he didn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can respect the audience a little bit more now. And we cut to commercial break, and we come back, and we have, again, just an incredible moment for me as Jimmy Kimmel's sidekick from his show,
Guillermo,
has given tequila to everybody and wanted to propose a toast. And he's toasting everybody, and then he toasts my girl, Charlize, claiming it
my wife.
My wife. And I was about to throw hands.
Yeah.
She looked as beautiful as ever.
Yes, she did.
And I was very happy that I got to see her. We get America Ferrera come and Kate what?
McKinnon.
Thank you. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. The group chat liked Kate McKinnon, so respect to them. But
I'm happy that they find enjoyment from her performances. I did enjoy her. It's funny. I enjoyed her in a movie most people hate. I enjoyed her in the Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, she was good in Barbie, too. But her personality that she exudes while in public, I have no idea. I've never met her personally. Not my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea.
Dude,
and she's the worst part in Yesterday.
I was just going to say that. Oh, my God. We are the same person. Yeah. She is unpleasant in Yesterday.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. Okay. These are the documentary awards. While not a fan of Kate McKinnon, I do get another Spielberg joke in here.
Yeah, what was it again?
They are talking about how Jurassic Park is a documentary.
Mm.
And she asks Dr. Spielberg if it's true. That's a documentary, and he agrees to it. And then Kate McKinnon says that she's been sending her tasteful nudes to Dr. Spielberg.
I do remember that, yeah. And Spielberg...
Or she says, I've been sending it to someone here.
Yeah, who have I been sending them to?
And then Spielberg points to himself.
Yeah.
I got a chuckle because it's my boy. I won't lie. Side note, actually, about... Sorry to cut you off. Side note about Jurassic Park... documentary joke. I recently saw an Instagram post about this kid who grew up. His dad told him Jurassic Park the movie was a documentary, and he didn't find out till he was like 10 that that wasn't true. Mm. And to this day, he's like, I'm still mad about it.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Last Repair Shop wins. I haven't seen any of these, but I do intend to check this out. And making sure that kids have a steady, reliable stream of playable, good shape musical instruments is an issue that's near and dear to my heart. So I will hope to check these out if I can happen to find it. But it's funny because I didn't know this existed like 4 hours ago. Before the show, I had no idea this existed. And then Jordan said it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's on Disney.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Documentary feature goes to 20 Days in Mariupol, which from my understanding was the runaway winner, favorite to win. Sadly, the winner... I shouldn't say sadly, whatever. The winner decides to use this platform to talk about the Russian-Ukrainian war, and they let him go for a very long time.
I don't hate that he used the opportunity to talk about that issue, because, of course, that there's a long and storied history of the Oscars being used to speak about political issues.
Yeah.
Just not very engaging. He was clearly quite nervous.
Yes.
And he was looking down and often forgetting what he was going to say. It was a little bit unfortunate in that regard. Congratulations to him for making such a great movie. But one of the first things out of his mouth is that he wished he never made it. So that kind of put a damper on things as well.
Yeah.
I understand in the context of the speech what he meant. But
yeah.
Maybe it came out wrong.
Yeah. So whatever. I'm just... whatever. I'll just let it go.
Hmm.
Cinematography goes to Oppenheimer. Again, I mentioned it in the chat, and I mentioned it with Sam. I didn't find any movies. I thought there was quite a few movies this year that definitely looked beautiful, but there was no jaw-dropping movies for me this year cinematography-wise, unlike, say, 1917 or Blade Runner 2049. Of course, we're talking about fucking Deacons. Or movies of the such. They're just, I didn't find anything really blew me away.
The Deacons not do any movies this year?
Hmm, who knows? The next category was short. Live action short.
Hmm.
Wes Anderson wins, which I'm sure everybody else that was competing in live action shorts, which is basically a way for filmmakers to get their foot in the door, because they can't get the funding that all these major filmmakers can.
Yeah.
And then they realize they're going up against Wes Anderson, who the Academy is anxiously awaiting to give an Oscar to as well. And they finally did, and he wasn't there. There was a nice joke that he was busy because he's building a diorama out of corduroy. Great joke. I do wonder if it was purposeful that Wes Anderson didn't show up. That he's like, I'm going to show up to accept an Oscar for a real film of mine, not a short. I don't know. So I know that a lot of people are dying for Wes Anderson to get an Oscar win. I am not one of them.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything I would have nominated him for Asteroid City. There's really not. I don't think it was worthy of any of anything. None of the acting performances. I mean, you've seen Wes Anderson movies. You know the acting performances are all kind of stylistically wooden. Like, they're all kind of intentionally deadpan.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons that I enjoy the movie Rushmore so much, is that it's not that. So, we'll see.
For the record, Deakins does not have any film credits, either 2023 or beyond. Empire of Light was the last one, which was a Sam Mendes film, and I think he was nominated for Best Cinematography. But
I never watched it. I didn't hear it was that great. So
I think it got like a 3.0 on Letterboxd, and all the reviews say the cinematography is spectacular.
Of course it is. Yeah. Well, when we get to 2023 in the podcast, I'll watch it then. Next up was Sound. I don't know, is this one of your boys? Is Mulaney one of your boys?
John Mulaney's really funny. He's one of my favorite comedians now, for sure.
Killed it.
Yes.
With his, actually, I don't even want to say it's a bit. It was basically a monologue.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. Again, just this year's Oscars, the writers, whether Mulaney wrote it, apparently,
it's very much in his style, so it would not shock me to learn that he wrote it.
Wouldn't shock me. Perhaps there was a collaboration with him and the show writers. You don't bring on somebody of this caliber of a comedian and not allow them to write or do some of their own material. Mm-hmm. So it was absolutely fucking hilarious. His little rant about Field of Dreams was amazing because I fucking love that movie. Mm-hmm. And Zone of Interest wins. And this is where I put in the line. This is the Tom Wilkinson of sound Oscars. The Zone of Interest winning is nice to see because the sound design in Zone of Interest is very subtle. And that's what really made the win nice to see. Wasn't this big bombastic explosions of everything where we usually see something like, I'm pretty sure this is where Suicide Squad won its Oscar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, stuff like Transformers, which, you know, the sound is supposed to be bombastic and it is probably a lot of work. But this one is so subtle. And in the background and the way it's supposed to be. So I enjoyed the win, despite not enjoying the movie.
I love the win for sound. I'm right there with you. I love the win, even though the movie didn't speak to me the way it spoke to other people.
Yeah.
The whole concept, really, of this movie is based around sound. Like, this movie's not the same if you have a subpar sound designer. Like, the whole point is that you have these things that you hear but are unseen. That's like the whole concept of the film, is that there's these unseen evils that people are ignoring, but you can hear them, but they're choosing to ignore them. So that's like the whole concept. So because it's so integrated into the film, I don't see any good reason to not give it the Oscar here. So, definitely no problem here.
And then we get to the part of the Oscar show that I was looking forward to the most. I've told everybody that is willing to listen to me fucking run my mouth. The only thing I was looking forward to this year was Ryan Gosling performing I'm Just Ken from Barbie. And they did not fucking disappoint. Like last year, the only thing I was looking forward to last year was the performance of Natu Natu. I was still excited, like I am every year to watch the Oscars, but I was like, can't wait for Natu Natu. And the performance last year of Natu Natu lived up. I fucking loved it. I had a great time. This year's performance of I'm Just Ken, in my opinion, will go down as one of the greatest on-stage musical performances in Oscar history.
Getting Ryan Gosling to do it was, of course, great.
Yep.
The costume, the all-pink suit,
yep,
is fucking gorgeous. The man oozes charisma, is a great singer.
Yes.
I don't mean to sound so surprised because he's in one of my favorite movies, which is a musical. He's in La La Land and, of course, sings in that. And sang I'm Just Ken in the movie. But for some reason, seeing him nail this live performance was like, I don't want to say a pleasant surprise, but it was like, oh, thank God that he did.
Yeah, I think what it was, it's just kind of, for me, when I get to see somebody that is in the movie perform the song live, it just reaffirms, like, okay, you actually are able to do what you did on screen. Like, it wasn't an editing or in the sound booth that you made it look good. Similar to, which half of this isn't a shock, but Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Lady Gaga can sing, but Bradley Cooper performing it live was beautiful. That was another major highlight from that year.
Totally.
And this, the whole thing, I was super excited. Like, just as I was typing it, I was like, I was really hoping Simu Liu will come out, and he does, and I just was fucking ecstatic. Plus, we saw two or three other Kens that were in the movie show up there. I can't remember the name. Benston King Adir. God damn it, that's going to bug me. It's something along those lines. I really apologize. I did completely butcher his name, but it's around that. He showed up on stage, and one of the other Kens who has a smaller role was up there as well. How close was I?
I, for some reason, it's not coming readily, but it's okay.
I can get it.
Where are the actors? Let's see. TikTok.
It is Kingsley Benadire.
Aha.
Kingsley Benadire. So I had some things mixed up there. He was a lot of fun. He plays a villain in the hands down worst Marvel TV show, Secret Invasion. It is fucking bad. Heartbreakingly bad. But the I'm Just Ken was everything I wanted it to be and more. When he goes down and sang with Greta and Margot, and you can see Billy in the background dying.
Emma Stone, he went past as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the same notes. Billie Eilish, Margot Robbie dying, Emma Stone, Greta Gerwig, like getting all those people involved is so great.
And then him taking the hand of the cameraman and pulling him up on stage. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic performance. That is my favorite part of the show, was the I'm Just Ken, with the John Cena probably being a close second. Mm-hmm. Not razor thin close, but close. Mm-hmm. Score and song, we get our first kind of fuck up. So Ludwig Göransson wins for score for Oppenheimer, whatever. It's, oh god damn it, what's Ariana? How are we pronouncing
it? She says Grande.
Grande, okay.
But Ariana, that sounds Grande, wrong.
Ariana Grande, and why can't I remember the other lady?
I can't remember who she came up with. I actually don't know if I know the person's name who she came up with.
Damn it. Anyways,
it's Cynthia Erivo.
Thank you, Cynthia Erivo. They announce the nominees for score, and they give it away, and then they go to song. And Ariana does not read the nominees at all, just announces the winner. Does not read the nominees at all. And
was this a fuck-up, or did they just do it because
100% a fuck-up.
It wasn't a planned thing?
100% a fuck-up, because you can see, if you ever watch it again, you can see in the background when Billy comes up for song, you can see her in the background. She's embarrassed. She's like, I can't believe I did that. You can see it in the background. She's like, oh my God.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, ooh, that's tough. So Billie Eilish wins. I was really holding out hope that Gosling would win. I understand why he doesn't, because Billie Eilish, that song is so fucking powerful, mm-hmm. and so incredibly performed, not even just on stage tonight live, but yeah. in the movie and the recording of it. It is a beautiful song. But I really was hoping that I'm Just Ken would win.
I'm Just Ken is a pretty triumphant, amazing song in its own right. But I'm an unapologetic Billie Eilish fan. And the way that she, in this song, in all songs, but in this song in particular, has this control over her voice where she can do these crazy runs mm-hmm. while doing this sort of whisper vocal is so fucking insanely difficult. You can't even express how difficult that is. And she's an incredible talent. Her brother Phineas as well. This is the one I was rooting for. I was very happy to see the win. Although, after the I'm Just Ken performance, I would have been happy with either. I mean, I would have been happy with either before, but the I'm Just Ken performance would have made me even happier
to see. We did fail to mention the other performance.
The Flamin' Hot one?
The Flamin' Hot one. Cringe.
Yeah, it was... We definitely thought of a few that we would have been in. So, you and I both learned in the group chat during this that apparently you can only have two Best Original Song nominees from the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why... is it Dance the Night? Is that the name of the song?
I believe so.
Dance the Night from Barbie and Pink. Mm-hmm. Those were both not nominated.
Yeah.
I also, if you're looking for a different song to put in there other than the Flamin' Hot song, I will also put forth not from a movie that already had two nominations in this category. Dear Alien, Who Art in Heaven, from Asteroid City. Would have definitely put that out there. But yeah, this song was not good.
I mentioned Peaches from Super Mario.
I think Peaches is a great pick.
Everyone seemed to love it. Yeah. So Wes did mention that it
didn't I love Jack Black, too.
Wes mentioned it didn't make the short list, so I guess the song committee of the Oscars, the song branch, didn't deem it worthy. Fine, whatever. Then we get to a part of the Oscars that it's so sad for me to say, I look forward to every year, and that's the In Memoriam. Because I really enjoy that the Oscars takes a time out of their show to pay tribute to those that they've lost in the art form that we all love and admire. And a lot of times, this is one of the most powerful moments of the show for me. There are years very similar. We mentioned earlier about Billie Eilish. She sang Yesterday live during one In Memoriam, and it just heightened the respectful nature that this segment should be. And this year, I don't even remember the first song that played, but what, in my opinion, what they should be doing, this is a chance to recognize those that we have lost and to celebrate them and their contributions to film. So they if they want to play a song, they want to have a live performance song, great. But your screen should be filled up with the images and faces of these people that we lost. Instead, what we had was a camera halfway up the aisles. So you're getting a shot of the crowd as well as the full stage, and there's a dance, interpretive dance performance going on.
Who is that for?
Obviously, it has to be for the people in the auditorium, but I'm pretty sure the people in the auditorium will have no problem sitting still for 4 to 5 minutes to pay tribute to the people that they know and love and are no longer with them. This dance and us barely, honestly, at times barely able to see the screen and the people that we're supposed to be saying goodbye to, this was a major letdown for me. This, up to this point, was my most disliked part and biggest letdown of the night. I'm actually fully and truly really upset about this because I really think that when we have a chance, we should be paying tribute to the people that we lost. And this has always been one of the times where they usually do a really great job and they didn't. And it really upsets me and makes me sad. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's very well said. Granted, I don't think it bothered me quite as much as it bothered you, but I fully understand your reasoning for being upset. And, if you put me in charge of the Oscars, I definitely prefer to have, certainly everybody who's in the slideshow, gets to be in camera fully, gets to be in frame fully. If you want to, include or superimpose the performers briefly, as they did with Billie Eilish, when she did it for Yesterday, I'm totally down for that. They are performing. And the reason you get a famous person to perform is, you know, because they're a very good performer and they deserve their share of screen time. But, you know, this is ultimately to pay tribute to people who contributed to the art form, gave their lives to the art form that we like. So bit of a head scratcher. I do enjoy that they got, while it seems like in retrospect a bit of an odd decision to have Andrea Bocelli, it's a beautiful song. I had to look up what it's actually called. I just know it's that song by Andrea Bocelli that's also in Step Brothers. It's called Conte Partiro. Him performing that with, you said it's his son?
I didn't say anything.
I think somebody said it's his son.
That was beautiful.
It was a beautiful rendition.
Wow.
But yeah, we got way too much of the dancers, not nearly enough of the screen.
Yeah.
So a bit of a problem there. I wondered maybe if it was to do with the set design, how probably the slideshow was edited to be in that little circular screen. But I mean, they could have made a rectangular slideshow as well. So.
No, because there was a bunch of the start with on the rectangular screen. So whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Now we get into the big ones. Best actor comes out. I didn't have them written down. So we have Cage, McConaughey, Ben Kingsley, Sir Ben Kingsley, Forrest Whitaker, and then Brendan Fraser.
Nice. Well done.
This was the first time I really noticed the presenters who are paying tribute to our current nominees. Some of them are heavy on the teleprompter. And so their impassioned speech doesn't come across as fully authentic. And Brendan Fraser was the first one I noticed it on. And while it didn't bug me, it's kind of a little bit of a disappointment, because I think the first one felt so true and real.
Mm-hmm.
So this felt like a little bit of a letdown, but not a huge thing. Nicolas Cage, great line, talking about how Giamatti wore a soft contact for his lazy eye. And he's like, would I do that? Of course I would. great moment. I love seeing Giamatti. I was really, again, hoping out hope that Giamatti would pull us out, but we did get Cillian Murphy winning. Again, I guess I really need to rewatch Oppenheimer. I remember watching Oppenheimer and thinking, okay, he's definitely getting nominated. I don't know. I guess he won so many. I don't know. I guess it's just too. Well, I didn't watch The Whale last year. I have no fucking desire to watch an Aronofsky film. So mm-hmm. I don't care how much praise Fraser gets. I won't be watching.
He's pretty good.
Awesome. I'm very fucking happy, but I won't be watching that movie until I have to cover 2023.
It's pretty upsetting.
Yeah,
it's a pretty upsetting movie.
No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm good. I don't need Aronofsky mm-hmm. in my life. So, you did mention this is, we didn't really notice it in supporting, at least I didn't, but this time there was a really pronounced handshaking from the winner going through the past winners. And you said it was perfect. It really did. What it kind of reminded me of, the way they were really it was like a really firm and like arm grabbing handshake. And it was exactly what you said. It's like, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
And it really reminded me of like the jackets from the Masters.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. It's a great analogy.
I really love that idea. And, oh, God, thinking about it is making me cry.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that idea. Welcome to this very exclusive club. And I love it. I really hope that they continue with that, because especially that one, the lead actor, the handshakes.
Especially with it being Cillian Murphy, who, of course, was a first-time winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely loved it. Honestly, I don't really remember much of his speech. I think it was because I was just like,
meh. I think we were chatting through it a little bit.
We were chatting through a lot because I was like, man, whatever. I knew he was going to win. I wish Giamatti would. So whatever.
Yeah, I have nothing to add about this.
Next up, third appearance of my boy, Spielberg, just all over the show.
And I love what you said about this. The second Spielberg stepped out onto the stage to present Best Director, Manny turned to me and goes, passing the torch.
Yeah.
From Spielberg to Nolan.
There was literally no chance of an upset here.
No.
This was, again, almost every category was slam dunk. There was, like we said, basically only two coin flips. And this was, we all knew this was coming. The Academy has been anxiously awaiting to give Nolan an Oscar, and they gave it to him for Oppenheimer. I guess, no, rightfully so. Rightfully so. I think I'm just... Yeah, no, it's 100% worthy. I think just the Nolan fanboys are just kind of getting to me. So
I get that. I do think Nolan had one of the better speeches of the night.
I thought
he had a great speech, and his comparison, imagine being only 100 years into painting.
Yeah.
Like that is, imagine only being 100 years into painting, or he said one other art form that I can't remember. And he said, who knows where this art form goes from here?
Yeah.
And I love that comparison.
Yeah.
Like, we are still young in this art form, and there's only so much room to grow from here. That's such a great thing. And towards the end of his speech, you can hear his voice breaking. I think the moment did get to him, and mm-hmm. I love to see that. I think it humanizes you. And I loved his speech. It was one of the highlights. I do just want to jump back real quick, because... just to say one additional thing about I'm Just Ken. It was cool to see Slash show up.
Yes.
Love to see him show up. And apparently, I didn't actually recognize him, but apparently on bass you had Wolfgang Van Halen as well.
Oh.
Eddie Van Halen's son.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did they show the bass player?
I think when he walked up on stage, he like took the bass player's hand, or maybe they nodded to each other or something.
Oh, okay.
And I was actually wondering, I'm like, weird that they're including the bass player in this. And I think it was because it was Wolfgang Van Halen.
Oh, all right. Van Halen, of course, names his kid Wolfgang.
I know, right? I've always felt that way, too. It's a little pretentious, but okay.
Come on. That's so funny. Like, I don't know why that bothers me, but it does. I'm like, that's kind
of... It's like you're a metal rock musician. Like, of course, I thought Eddie Van Halen was a genius, but...
Yeah. Whatever. You know. Okay, bye.
Okay, moving on.
Then we get to the only other category where we had a race, and it's Best Actress. Emma Stone, Lily Gladstone... stacked presenters. Oh, am I going to be able to get these off the top of my head? So we had Sally Field, Charlize Theron. Obviously, why can't I remember last year's winner? Michelle Yeoh.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Jessica Lange.
Mm-hmm.
And who am I missing?
The person who presented for Lily. Nope. It was quite awkward, and they were reading off the prompter. Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, right. Thank you. Yeah, stacked presenters.
Yeah, this is a great category.
Unbelievable.
I felt, honestly, the best actor one was the weakest. I felt like they couldn't really get some names, like both in terms of the actual presentation and in terms of the names that they got.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. Really great tributes, especially for me. Was it Charlize to Annette?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really like that one.
I bet.
Obviously, I'm a little biased, but I, on both sides, because I obviously worship at the altar of Theron, but I'm a huge Annette Bening fan. And I think she was, I would have been happy with any of these women winning, any of them winning, and I wouldn't be upset. Probably, yeah. I was really hoping for Lily Gladstone, some history, what it could have done for her career, and going forward for more inclusion would have been great.
Even so, this, as you said, was one of the coin flips of the night. With even there being some uncertainty, I was more leaning towards, purely on a political level, like performances aside, I really thought the Oscars was not going to let the opportunity slip through their fingers to recognize a Native American woman in this category. I Same. Really thought they were going to do it.
Same. And the nice thing about that, even if they did go that way, is it was worthy.
Yep.
Right? But it went to Emma Stone, and I don't have a problem with it because she is un-fucking believable in that movie.
Yeah, we've said it before. Two vastly different performances at the top.
They couldn't be more different. And Emma Stone's genuine shock of winning was nice to see.
You know what? I'm just remembering when we were in the Sampas, Lily Gladstone.
Careful.
Has it not come out?
Sampas won't be out.
But for this category,
mm-hmm.
for that category, maybe a huge omission.
Well, remember, I don't nominate people that are nominated.
But nobody was nominated for the Tom Wilkinson Award.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
I do. She wouldn't have won anyways.
No, she wouldn't have. But still, like, I only had, I think, 4 nominees in there.
Oh, I had 5.
I definitely could have included her in there.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about for Best Actress.
No.
For the Tom Wilkinson.
Yes.
100%. 100% should have been in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely could have subbed somebody out for that.
Hmm.
Big omission on our parts for the Tom Wilkinson.
Hmm. Sampas needs their own snubbies.
Don't fucking tell me. That's a whole... Oh, Jesus Christ. Really great speech from Emma.
Oh, this is one of the better speeches of the night as well.
Yeah, really cute moment because her dress, we had a dress malfunction.
She was like, this is what I love about her. She comes off as so genuine and so cute. Like, she had no voice because I think she had been screaming during I'm Just Ken. The zipper on the back of her dress was broken.
Yeah, and you could see it.
Yeah. And I just thought this was one of the most genuine, heartfelt speeches. And even though it's her second, putting her in an exclusive club,
mm-hmm.
She still seems so honored and so humbled and
yep.
So very, very genuine and very cool. I liked her a lot. And then when Jimmy Kimmel took the envelope and made a joke, can we go ahead and tear up that envelope? Making reference, of course, to the fact that the wrong envelope that was read on stage was Emma Stone's previous Best Actress win, was a great touch.
Yes. Where do I want to go? I'm going to throw a little shade here.
Let's go.
What I loved about her genuine excitement and enjoyment of winning, it seems real, despite the fact that we know fully well she is an actress.
A pretty damn good one.
Unlike, say, someone that I do like, but Anne Hathaway's win.
Uh-huh.
Came across as total theater kid bullshit to me.
What did she win for? Les Mis?
Yeah, Les Mis.
Yeah.
I remember not being happy about that.
I liked that movie at the time, but I like it less now.
Don't get me wrong. Her performance of whatever that song is, I Dream a Dream, is unbelievable. I just remember the rest of the performance being fine. So whatever. Is the mean tweets segment from Kimmel's show?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we get some mean tweets, or he reads what a review he's getting.
Yeah. I knew the second that he started reading the review that he got, I'm like, oh, this has got to be a Donald Trump tweet.
Yeah. Well, it ends up being a Donald Trump tweet. And he takes a good shot at the former president.
Isn't it past your jail time?
Yeah. Really great. Wow, I can't believe he's... Is he going to be president again? I don't want to talk about it.
I think if you look at odds makers, I think he's the odds on favorite right now.
Wow.
I know. Honestly, not just related to politics, but also to things like the Oscars. One of the best things you can do to look at predictions for uncertain things is look at gambling websites. You know, because gambling websites, they don't take... I mean, I was going to say they don't take politics into account, but they take everything into account equally. Mm-hmm. They generally know how things are going to go.
So we get to the big award. Best Picture. We've been building up all night. We've gotten tiny little montages of all 10 Best Picture nominees building up towards this time. And most of us, we all pretty much know what's going to win. I don't think there's really any drama as what's going to take home the Best Picture. And they bring out Al Pacino, a 9-time Oscar nominee. And up to this point, the only part of the show that's been a disappointment was the In Memoriam.
And the lack of nominees being read for Best Original Song.
Yeah, but I was so upset with the In Memoriam that I'd kind of forgotten it. Right. And Pacino comes out, and in all honesty, he did not come across as somebody that didn't have all his facilities. He seemed to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's been going to the Oscars for years, and him not knowing proper protocol, the very idea that they would not read the nominees for the biggest award of the night is completely incomprehensible. So this is 100% a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Where Pacino little, and the thing is as he says, I can't remember what he says, but he's like, I've got the answer here, something like that.
He says something like, oh, I can already see Oppenheimer in there.
No, before. Mm-hmm. He says something that immediately intimates that he is about to reveal the winner without reading the nominees. And you do not
need to have a stagehand go, hey.
Why is the crowd not saying anything?
Yeah, stop.
Yes. Nothing. Opens the envelope. And what does he say? I see Oppenheimer written here.
Yeah, something like that. Like,
now we know our Best Picture winner. There's no buildup. There's no, here are your 10 nominees. Here, let's celebrate the 10 best films of the year. Nothing. It's such a letdown to what was a great night. It's so sad. I'm really hoping. I understand that we want to pay tribute to the legends of this art form. We need to stop letting these much older people have this much control over what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do have the whole La La Land Moonlight fiasco. That is not the presenter's fault.
Nope.
Nope, that was the accountant problem, because
mm-hmm.
they were the ones handing out the envelopes, which makes me wonder, like, how did they hand out an envelope that had already been read?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, are there doubles?
I think there are backups, yes.
Okay, makes sense. It does make sense to have backups. So, yeah, this was so anticlimactic, even though we all knew what was going to win. But it really sucked the excitement and anticipation out of the biggest award of the night.
Yeah.
And
which, granted, not that this makes it any better. We all knew it was going to win anyway.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, still having the, I don't know, still having the buildup and still having the feeling in you of like, what if it doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if he does open this up and he says Poor Things or Zone of Interest or something else, you mm-hmm. know? What if he did? And even having that feeling is a part of the whole
it
experience.
Is.
So.
And yeah, It was a big letdown.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big letdown. They came out. Nolan's wife gives a very nice speech, talking about how she has dreamed of this moment her whole life, and that's really nice. I love it when people admit to being excited about their win.
Mm-hmm.
The other producer comes out. Nolan takes a back seat because he's already done his speech for director. No sense in taking up precious mic time. And then the show ends. And we get the very standard Kimmel taking a shot at Damon as we see Messi lifting his leg over Matt Damon's star on the Walk of Fame.
It's funny. I had totally forgotten about the Matt Damon thing with Jimmy Kimmel, and it's not like I was sitting there waiting for one. Like, if I had it fresh in mind, I probably would have been like, oh, weird that he didn't take a shot at Damon in the monologue.
I didn't think of it either.
I was not thinking of it even a little bit.
Yeah. So I loved it. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people are tired of it. I'm not. I love it. I think it's fucking adorable.
What makes it so funny is how drawn out it is.
Yes, I agree. So that's the show. In all, I had a really great time. Would I have had as good a time watching the show if I wasn't watching with all the PFGs and Sam? I honestly can say, I don't know, I might have enjoyed it maybe 20% less, but it was still a good show.
It was overall a very good show. Yeah. Disappointments aside, obviously the In Memoriam was a disappointment. And then not one, but two categories, including Best Picture, where the nominees are just not read.
Yeah.
And it's just completely anticlimactic. That's a definite head-scratcher how that happens twice.
Definitely, because I'm like 99% sure that they do rehearsals the day before.
Mm.
And now that could be the case of somebody of Ariana Grande?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, that's weird to say.
I know.
So maybe someone of her stature was like, I'm not coming in for rehearsal. I have no idea. I'm not saying she pulled a diva, and I'm not saying...
She has a reputation as being a little bit of a diva,
okay,
I
don't know her well enough to say anything.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty big mistake. And... Now with Pacino doing it, we had two in the same night. I don't know what. I'm going to have to, like, couldn't the teleprompter have saved him?
Yeah, maybe the teleprompter fucked up both times or something.
That seems unlikely to me. Mm. That seems unlikely to me because I, who knows? Who knows? Well, I'm sure we're going to find out shortly, within the next few days, how these mistakes were made. I'm very sad that they were made, especially with the big one.
Yep.
So, but all in all, I had a really great time. I think it was a great Oscars. Like I said, everything pretty much went down the way we expected, but I had a blast watching with the PFG. So big shout out, to everyone. Sadly, for those of you wondering, last year we did record our Oscar recap a day or two later. And we usually, I like to include Rachel's Oscar winners. She does like Best Dressed and Biggest, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, right, yeah.
I will, when she does reveal them, PFG Rachel, I will include them. I will write them down and we will include them on the next Real Talk.
Even though we didn't have a chance to watch Red Carpet, as stated earlier, I think the consensus among the PFGs during the show was that Florence Pugh was quite the knockout.
Okay. Okay. I didn't get to see... I noticed amongst the PFGs, everyone seemed to be a big fan of the deep V on the gentleman, the open shirt.
Hmm.
I disagree. I prefer...
You like the bow tie?
I do like the bow tie. Or a regular tie. So I didn't get to see a lot of the men's fashion, but Tao Yu is currently my leader for Best Dressed on the red carpet.
I'm just gonna take a quick
okay
little peek. Tell you
for males, females, I definitely need to take a good look across the board. But tell you,
oh yeah, that's just a good looking man.
Yeah. I mean, is it a blue suit? If I'm not mistaken,
looks like it's maybe a dark
blue,
like a deep navy.
Yeah. Okay.
I would consider leaving my American husband for that.
I wonder if John McGarro was there. Anyways,
interesting.
Are you gonna check it? Okay,
I am.
Okay, one quick look for see if John McGarro see if he saved his relationship.
John McGarro red carpet. There are red carpet photos of him. Doesn't look like no.
Not
I think these are. These are elsewhere.
Okay.
Not the Oscars.
All right. That wraps up our Oscars recap. That went, wow, a lot.
It's like an hour?
Yeah, just over.
Yeah.
I was reading it wrong. I was like, we went 2 hours? No. Just over an hour. I had a really good time with that.
Glad we did it.
Yeah, me too. I think like doing it immediately after the Oscars makes the most sense.
Yeah. Nice and fresh in the mind.
Yeah.
I am dead tired, as is often the case. I don't know if you can see it.
No, you actually did pretty good.
Okay.
I see it as soon as you said it. I could see.
Oh, I'm leveling out right now.
I could see that you're seeing that we're winding down, and you're like...
My body is anticipating. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's time for bed now.
Yeah.
Late night at the Canucks game last night.
So, do you know what we have coming up next, Sam?
Yeah, is it... the one that's...
No.
It's not that?
No, it's the one we already recorded.
Which I also can't remember because I'm too tired.
Next up is the Sampas.
Right. So that's episode 289.
That's right.
The Sampas.
Yes.
So we recorded that, obviously, before the Oscars.
Yes.
So all of that will be interesting to listen back to and, well, to know in retrospect what actually won. So mm-hmm. that'll be kind of fun. Episode 289. So for those not in the know, the Sampas are our response to the Oscars, the Sam and Manny Podcast Awards, mm-hmm. basically. And we do our own acting awards, our own awards of many kinds, but also awards that the Oscars don't give out.
Yeah, we have some fun categories. It's definitely a show for us that, and the PFGs seem to like it as well. So hopefully some listeners like it.
One of the highlights for me, one of the new things that we did that I think people should listen for is we had our first guest segment.
Yes.
That one of the PFGs submitted.
Yeah.
So definitely recommend checking it out for that.
100%. So, for the Samuel and Manuel Movie Podcast, I'm Manny Manuel.
I'm Sam Reimer.
Adios.